At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good morning. Happy Saturday, everyone. Welcome to Grant and Brother Bob. That's Brother Bob. I'm Grant. This is really the only show on YouTube that gives you deep intel. Really the only show on YouTube that's objective and unbiased. All the other shows on YouTube, anything especially related, are just horribly biased. And it pisses me off, brother. Frankly, I don't like it. So you and I.
Uh-oh. Did we lose Grant or me?
Are going to be the only objective people in this entire year. So anyway, that's my mission statement for today. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm going to try to be objective, the most objective. Let me get my sheets ready. I do have stats. But that guy's crazy. And to me,
who
is good to go to a place where people can literally talk facts. And that's what I'm looking forward to here today. Facts and stats. Numbers don't lie.
You know what I don't like? When people think for themselves. Like, it's so clear. Whatever the team says is happening is the deal. And whatever they're doing is not just right. It's groundbreaking. It's never been done before. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened. Every transaction, every move, every decision is something that should really be studied for future generations, so that they can grasp what's happening here in the Bay Area.
True. And it's so perfect that we've won 7 more Lombardi trophies, right? I mean, so everything that the Niners are doing are great. I mean, it's just perfect. See, that's the problem I have. Like, I would buy into it if you're winning Super Bowls. But if you're not winning Super Bowls, then there's room for growth, room for improvement, right? Everything's not perfect.
No, you're wrong. That's where your premise goes. Absolutely zero room for improvement. Winning Super Bowls is a very antiquated way to determine who's good or who's great. Really, if you look at the advanced statistics, if you look at this spreadsheet that I'm going to give you, it really proves that the 49ers were the best team last year. And whatever happened in that game was just a footnote.
You're right.
Casuals judge teams that way. So that's not what we're going to do here. What we're going to do is celebrate what the 49ers have accomplished, which is frankly more than any 49ers team. I think last year's Niners team was the greatest 49ers team of all time. No, they didn't.
I think so. Yeah.
I think it really was.
Other than the 5 that actually won Super Bowls. But yes.
Who cares? I mean, you could win a Super Bowl, but not be as great, as perfect as that team last year. And really the only reason they didn't win the Super Bowl is because Taylor Swift.
Absolutely right. No, the I mean, only
it was,
reason.
It was rigged. It was rigged.
Yeah, it was rigged.
It was other absolutely than, rigged.
Wait. Was the coin toss decision rigged too?
The coin toss itself was rigged.
Makes sense.
Because they knew Kyle didn't know the rules, and they made it so that he won the coin toss. Had he lost the coin toss, maybe they would have won the game, but that was rigged.
You know what's so funny to me?
Knows that the NFL hates the 49ers. It's crazy.
Hate us.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so funny to me, if this was any other team, we would be laughing so hard at that team, right? Like, we would be laughing. Oh, you didn't know the rules.
Yeah.
Or you wanted Mahomes to win. Or you didn't scout Mahomes. Like, yeah. Any other team. Like, you know, Dallas Cowboys. We like to shit on the Dallas Cowboys. But it just blows my mind. Like, well, they've actually won more Super Bowls than us and won one more recent than us. So, I mean, like, but okay, I'm just ignore facts and just go with the fact that Kyle Levy is the greatest of all time. You're right. Where have I been?
Like, I'm not trying to say that he's the worst or that the Niners are a failure. Like, they're just interesting because they make the playoffs so much. They have this sustained level of success. Some people think they're inevitably going to win a Super Bowl or that winning a Super Bowl doesn't matter. Some people feel like, hey, they're missing an opportunity. And if they really don't win the Super Bowl, you're going to look back on this era with a lot of feelings and just, boy, this is great. So I think that's the kind of balance that people are trying to strike. Well, not everyone's trying to strike a balance. Some people just say this is phenomenal. They're going to win a Super Bowl eventually. Let's just count the chickens before they hatch. Other people think you're flirting with missing an opportunity. Yeah.
I'm in that ladder.
So okay, that's how we feel. Let's talk business though. What's interesting about OTAs this year is it's all about business. Last year, it was all about, man, look at how hard McCaffrey practices. He's never been in a Niners offseason. And this guy, he's like freaking Jerry Rice. You can't keep him off the field. Wow. And this year, it's like, yeah, well, he's not here, and Trent's not here, and Ayuk's not here, and Jennings isn't here. But it's good. It's all good. It's all good. It's voluntary. It's freaking it doesn't matter. Sure. So this year is all about what players want. Last year was about coming together, sacrificing for the Super Bowl. Yeah, that didn't work out so well. So now it's about getting what you want and what you're entitled to. Let's start with Brandon Ayuk. It's been reported that he wants more than Amon-Ra St. Brown. That, you know, he's got his ego in it, which all athletes do, and he's decided he's better than Amon-Ra St. Brown, and he needs more money than Amon-Ra St. Brown. And that's what the Niners are working with here because he's getting essentially $28 million a year. That's a lot of money. What do you think about what Ayuk wants? What do you think about what Ayuk wants?
First, before we get in that, and I'm down for that, I'm ready. But you know who else actually showed up for OTAs this year who didn't last year? Bosa. It's been reported that Kyle wanted Bosa there too for camaraderie and other reasons to be a leader. So I think it is important, especially for new players, to get to see some of the stars and leaders on the team. But anyway, to Ayuk. First, I just think, and I love my Niners to death. That's why I'm here on this show with you. That's why I went to a Super Bowl, spent all that money. That's why I got all these jerseys. But my problem, first of all, with the Niners is you let other teams and players set the market. You do it every year. I can't think since Kyle Levy's been here, who did we sign quickly other than Greenlaw, right? But he's not Greenlaw. Like he was a top market, right?
That was it.
So that's my concern because the market is what the market is. It's that simple. So if I'm Ayuk, hell yeah, I'm asking for that. And do I expect to get it? You bet. Why? Well, let's just look at some of the numbers, okay? First of all, Amon St. Brown, okay? This guy, career stats for his 3 years that he's played, he has 315 receptions, averaging 11.3 yards per reception, okay? And he has 21 touchdowns. So this guy got a nice contract. He got a nice contract that, you know, per the numbers, fully guaranteed is $35 million. And, you know, he's got an APY of $30 million. So if I'm Brandon and I'm looking at my numbers, okay, Brandon's got an extra year on him, but Brandon has 269 receptions, 14.6 yards per catch and 25 touchdowns. Last year, Brandon had 17.9 yards average per catch in 16 games. So, you know, they didn't play the last game. So to me, does he deserve it? Yes, because that's the market rate. You just got it. I mean, what else can you do? You know, people talk about Purdy, and I like Purdy. I mean, hey, Purdy could be the next that guy, although he has to win one first, right? At least before I compare him to my all-time favorite. Probably a four, but
four. Yeah, I feel you.
You get my point.
Yeah.
But is Purdy worth $50 million? If that's the market rate, yes, that's the market rate. If that's what you're going to pay, I mean, so Ayuk definitely deserves it. And the Niners are at fault for waiting this long, in my opinion. You could assign him. Go ahead.
Well, let's talk about the why they wait long and what they gain from it. I think, like, so the idea is that they must gain something financially from waiting so long. Like, let's just drive a hard bargain and maintain our low offer, and then finally we'll come to a middle ground. And so last year with Bosa, let's take the Bosa example, because we're talking about near $30 million a year. This is big money. The Bosa thing didn't get done until like 4 days before the season opener. And it got done and people laughed it off like, haha, it's a deadline business. It doesn't matter. He's here. But then he had a down season. And afterward, he talked about, you know, my run defense was good, but as a pass rusher, my hand usage really wasn't where it was. And then talking to Chris Kocurek this week, he was like, yeah, because practice matters. And if he comes to training camp, he gets to go against Trent Williams and all of this. So you just saw that stringing it out with Bosa, did it save him any money? No. Did it cost him on the field? Yes. So now we look at Brandon Ayuk, like, the Eagles just extended both of their wide receivers in like April. Got it done. And those guys are going to be on the field in OTAs, minicamp, and training camp. Meanwhile, the Niners are messing around with Ayuk, and it's unclear what they're going to gain from it. And if they do give him the extension on September 6th, it's going to hurt the offense that he wasn't there. And I don't get it. I mean, we saw this with Debo. It hurt. He didn't have a good year. This is not good for the team's chances of winning the Super Bowl.
And see, that's my problem. I hate to agree with you. That's the funny thing. I really do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people think you're a shit starter, but you're just telling the truth. Like, these are things that the players themselves said. This is what Bosa himself said. And now he's at OTAs this year.
Right. See,
I agree. It makes no sense to me. What do you gain from this? Maybe bargaining before the, you know, possible draft, and you can trade a player. But you weren't going to trade them for what you wanted. So just get that money in so you are not being forced to pay Amon St. Brown like money. And by the way, Amon St. Brown has a crap ton more targets. He has 60 more targets than IU, or 59 total. 59 more targets. And IU still dusted him basically in yards, because he was a little less than him, but average-wise, he was better. So, yeah, I don't get it. What do we gain out of this? You're going to cave just like you did Bosa. You're going to cave just like you did Fred Warner. You're going to cave like you did Kittle. So just cave a little earlier, maybe save more money that way, and have the players there.
Each of those players had a down season after this little dance they went through. And it's like, is this necessarily what Kyle wants? Is it what John wants? Or is this how the Niners have done business with Parag Marate and Jed York for years? I mean, before they were here, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but it seems like it might be a little antiquated, considering really good personnel people like Howie Roseman don't do this at all. It seems like what the Niners do, and it seems like it costs them on the field while saving. This is, again, even if it does save them $1 million, it doesn't help you on the field. So it's a trade-off. And why would you want that trade-off? Like, you should be spending $1 million to make your team as good as possible. One more thing. We're talking to Leonard Hankerson, the wide receiver coach, who is so impressive. I had never met. He's about my age. That guy is super smart. Jennifer Lee Chan asked him, like, how great is this? Every question is so positive. How great is it for Ricky Pearsall that he gets these extra reps now that Brandon Ayuk and Juwan Jennings aren't here? And Hankerson thinks about it. He says, you know, it's good and bad. It's good that he gets extra reps. Extra reps are valuable. But what's bad is that he can't see Brandon do it. He can't see Jennings do it. And those guys are our guys. They do it the way we want it to be done. So there's no model. I mean, no, nothing against Debo, but like, there's no model of exactly how to run these routes and be helpful. So those guys holding out, it does hurt the team, and they know it, and they want their money. We're going to talk about Jennings in a minute too, but it's just interesting what's going on with the culture of this team. It feels like a lot of people are like, you know what? We've been sacrificing for a long time. And Purdy's about to get broken off. I need mine.
Yeah, and I think they understand that probably last year, just as Steve Young said, okay, so I'm not a hater. I love my team. But Steve Young, the last quarterback to win a Super Bowl here, said that was our best chance. And I think the players realized that too. That was their best chance. So now I hope like hell I'm wrong and we win it this year. I mean, I want nothing
more. Well, just think about it real quick. Like, who was healthy? Yeah, Greenlaw got hurt and Hufanga got hurt, but the quarterback was healthy. The running back was healthy. The tight end was healthy. Both wide receivers were healthy. I mean, they were dinged up a little bit, but they were all on the field. The Niners have had trouble getting to that stage of the season that healthy, and they did it, and they had the lead. And it's like, you talk about Kyle Levy. Some people push back that it's his fault that they lost. Okay, maybe it's not 100% fault that he, like, Gray River Cloud had a hand in it, but, like, he's supposed to be great, and the team's supposed to be great. You think when they're that close to the finish line that there's something he could do to push them over the, there's something he, because he's so good and they're so good. But really, it seems like when the pressure's on, he's kind of in the way.
Well, in okay. The way. But also look at this. The Niners had 9 all pro players on that team.
Huh.
The Chiefs, 3 all pro players. So Kyle Levy had the stacked team, he had the stacked roster. But you know what? Look, you're going to get me talking about this guy, get me all riled up. I just think that he must learn that it's really not about him. And I don't know if he ever will learn that. But I'm hopeful that this year, when it comes to the offense, maybe Brock steps up and makes his own audibles if Kyle doesn't let him, right? Because we all hear about Brock has 2 plays. Whatever the defense shows, he goes with the better of the 2. But I hope, like Brock just said, no, I'm getting out of this play. I see something different. Because another thing we missed, we didn't say about health, but the O-line was pretty much healthy all last year. Yep. We got Trent, old man Williams. Yeah, he dinged up a little bit here and there, but on the field. Will he stay healthy this year? And now we hear Brindles. I mean, is it arthritis in his knee? Tendonitis? I mean, this is a big deal. So,
yeah.
I mean, we have to be able to put teams away when we're up double digits. And it's, and I think it falls on the offense because you can't expect the defense, especially going up against them.
That's what kills me about what Kyle did in the Super Bowl. It's like you had 4th and 4 at the 9 and you kicked the field goal and said, Steve, why don't you bring this home for me? Like, no, you're the coach. Like, you're the offensive guru. Go for it on 4th down, dude. Don't put the game in the hand. But hold on. Let's bring this back to the IU negotiation before we move on to Jennings real quick. So it seems to me that what the Niners should do, what they should have done this offseason, is either extend IU in April or March. Really? No. Let's be specific. Extend IU before the Lions extended Amon-Ra St. Brown. That's the whole problem right now. You waited. And now that...
Or even the Eagles, before they extended,
if you'd handled this 2 months ago, it wouldn't have been an issue. Or you could have traded them 2 months ago, but waiting. So if you extend them in September, like, that's not ideal. And if you don't extend them and you try to get them to play out the 5th-year option, what's going to happen, man? I mean, talk about potentially ruining a season. It might be what the Niners want him to do. But he could hold out. He could miss 11 games. He could be upset. I mean, if their plan, my God, what kind of season is he going to have?
Well, okay. Here's the thing, though. I thought about this last night. And if the Niners want to play that game, which they can, it really benefit them? Because
let's not really. It hurts them on the field, in the locker room. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying. Benefit them at the end of the day? Even after, let's say this year is over.
It benefits him financially, and that's it.
But does it? Think about it. Okay, if he makes it through this year healthy and productive like he always has been, right? Now you're going to have to what? Franchise tag him? Or give him a really monster contract? Something like
and he hates you.
Right. So
and he hates you. Yeah.
It doesn't benefit. Yeah. I don't understand it. Now, before we move on, also, let's look at what
it just feels like. The Niners trying to steal a year of Brandon Ayuk at like half market value. Like, he's clearly worth $28 to $30 million on the open market. That's been defined clearly.
Right.
But they could get him for $14 million this year and be like, well, we're going to go with that option because it's an option and we got the leverage and they could do it. But Brandon Ayuk will hate them. And he will, it will be very interesting to see what it does to the locker room and maybe nothing. Well, maybe it'll be the chip on the shoulder he needs to play better, or maybe it'll really tear the team apart. Who knows?
You see, this is the thing about being myopic, having that short-sighted view. You know, you got to look at the big picture. You want your players happy, you know, especially players that give it 110% all the time. You know, we saw a video of this guy catching passes through trees. Okay. He's staying healthy. He's staying in shape.
And you want him, and you want him in practice. You want him at the facility. You want him there.
You want him.
It's not only is he good, he should be one of your captains.
Yeah, he should be. And like the
for the same reason you want Bosa there, you should want Ayuk there.
You should want him there.
Yeah.
But and that's the thing. So you're trying to save a dollar here and there, but you're going to end up paying more dollars at the end of the day. So is it really smart? And now let's compare his contract or his stats to Debo. All right. Debo's getting on average $24 million with his new contract, $41 million guaranteed. Okay. So now, don't you think Ayuk's worth more than that? I think so. So you should have already, before Devontae Smith got his extension, you should have jumped in and paid Ayuk more than you paid Debo. And you can move on from Debo next year, because Ayuk's cap hit won't be that aggressive the first 2 years, just like Debo's cap hit wasn't that aggressive the first couple of years. So, I mean, I don't know. I just don't understand the thinking. But, hey, then again, you know, they took this organization from a lemonade shop that won 5 Super Bowls to a billion-dollar organization that hasn't won jack except for a couple of NFC championship rings. So, I mean, that's what you want. But I just want to see a Lombardi trophy.
Think about it before we move on to Jennings. This is the last point I want to make. The Niners were all in to win the Super Bowl last year, right? And they did everything right. McCaffrey was there in OTAs. But the one thing that they got wrong last year in retrospect was Bosa. That whole negotiation with Bosa took way too long. It didn't save him any money. They could have handled that way earlier. Him not being at any of the offseason stuff affected him as their best player. If he had been 2022 Bosa instead of 2023 Bosa, maybe they win the Super Bowl. And that was something they could control. And now you got the same problem right now. Like, let's say they do extend Ayuk in September and everyone's happy. And they think, well, that was a big nothing burger. It always works out, you know, the way the Niners want. Like, nah, what if he comes back this year and averages 12 yards a catch? And he isn't quite as crisp with his route running because he didn't work on it against Tre'Davious Ward for a month or D'Amador Lenore. Like, then that's, again, another way that the Niners didn't put themselves in the best position possible to win the Super Bowl, which still is the freaking goal, even though a lot of people want to give him their flowers before they get there.
Let me look at you.
So,
man, you made a lot of sense right there. But here's the thing. Look at you again.
He better not miss. He should be extended today. If you want to extend him, do it today. What are you waiting for? You're not gaining anything. Nothing.
So, but Kyle Levy hasn't learned. See, that's the thing. He's so obstinate and stubborn. He should go in there and tell Parag, look, man, I'm going to go to daddy. Or no, I'm going to go to Jed and tell Jed to get rid of
you. Little daddy.
Because we need the players right now. We're in a win now mode with these last aging vets we have.
Look what happened with Bosa last year. You really want to do that again?
Right. Exactly. So, this is what boils in my brain. Like,
he talked about it. I don't get it. Let's take some super chats and see what the good pitching thing. Official B&M Music 88 says, spin the block like there's nowhere to park, Grant. Trying. Official B&M Music says, Bosa wasn't there. It was Steph still in character. It's true. That's actually true. What's up, my guy? It says Matt McEwen. What's up? What's up? What's up? All right. Jennings. So interesting. So everyone's anticipating Brandon Ayuk not being in OTAs. That's not a shock, although it is news. But the other one that I think is funny to me is like Jennings wasn't there either. It's like, yeah, I'm mad too. Yeah, I'm underappreciated. Like, okay, Juwan Jennings, good player. We're not talking $30 million a year over here. He's a restricted free agent, which means he doesn't have much leverage. And second rounder, which means they like him. I mean, that's a big raise to trade for him. You have to get a second round pick. He's not happy, I guess. What do you think of Juwan Jennings trying to flex his leverage and force the Niners to account for how important he is in their offense?
I don't blame him. I mean, after what he did in the Super Bowl, you know, he was clearly the MVP. No offense to Brock, no offense to anyone else, but I think that it was clear. And I don't blame him because now here's a seventh round draft pick, hasn't made a lot of money, but does everything right. You know, he practices hard, he plays his heart out, he blocks like crazy. So, and he's learned the system. So I don't blame him at all. The problem is, what's the end game for him? Can he force a trade? I think it's going to be tough to trade him at this point. You have to take less than a second round, and he has to agree with another team what his new contract is going to be. I don't see another team out there given cap situations at this point, I guess after June 1st maybe. But that's the problem. What is his end game? But there's definitely rancor, and I don't blame him, you know? He looked like the focal point in a Super Bowl, at least the best productive player in a Super Bowl.
He still had four catches for 42 yards. I don't know if he wants to make the stand, man. You had 19 catches last year. You had one catch in the NFC Championship game. Like, you are a good player, but you don't really have a resume. I mean, your resume is that you balled out in the Super Bowl. That's your resume. And you did, for sure. I think they look at you as replaceable, man. Like, Ayuk, they want to be here long term. I don't think they look at you as someone be on this team past this year. I think you know it. And I think it bugs you, Juwan. I think Juwan is like, man, I'm better than Brandon. It's like, maybe in that one game you were, but the thing about him is like, he's kind of slow and there's barely so much to do with him. You can't put him in motion. You can't run him deep. You can run. He's third and Juwan. On third and seven, he can run an 8-yard route and catch the ball with eight people around him. He's really good at that, but I mean, if they didn't play, would Ricky Pearsall be so much worse? I don't know.
Well, yeah, but here's the other thing. If he was so great, teams would assign him a second round draft pick. Right. I mean, and I have nothing against Juwan. All right.
But no.
The point is, I don't blame him as a player if I can try to get something more. But as I said, what's his end game here? You know, I don't see what his end game is. He should just sign his finger at some point. Yeah, I don't see it either. But I get it. As a player, you know, especially if you have good representation telling you there's something you can have out of this. But if I'm him, I sign a tender and get to training camp at least. I don't try to sit out in any part of training camp. It doesn't benefit him. He has to be in shape and ready for his next contract.
I'm trying to think what his thought process is here. What if it's as simple as this? It's like, everyone's being so careful with Brandon. Like, he's not there, but we understand. We understand. It's part of the business. All right, well, if Brandon's not going to show up, I'm not going to show up. I'm in the same exact situation as him. I have 1 year left of my contract. I would like an extension. No one seems to take me seriously or my grievance. Everyone's so upset about Brandon. How's Brandon feeling? How is Brandon feeling about, like, what about how I feel? So as long as he's not going to be here for the voluntary stuff, I won't either. And you can't get mad at me because he didn't think I'll be back for minicamp because I don't have that much money and I'm not trying to get fined.
But
OTAs? No, absolutely not. And don't get mad at me about it because, frankly, a lot of players in this team are making the same decision.
Yeah, but here's a big difference, though. With BA being out, I would want to be there. Now, I wouldn't necessarily overexert myself and get hurt, but I would just sign a tender. It's guaranteed, and I would be there. And, you know, if the Niners want to talk an extension, the point is they're not going to give him a lot of money. So
here's the thing, though. Here's the thinking, okay? Like, he's been there. He's done everything right, and he still got 19 catches. He still gets overlooked. He still doesn't get the extension. So what do you do? Now you pull away. You're like, all right, well, you took me for granted. I gave you everything. I blocked my ass off. And you still don't, you think I'm replaceable? Okay, I'm gonna be gone. Let's see what my absence does to your offense. Let's see what that does. And maybe that proves my worth. Or maybe it proves your lack of worth. That's a dangerous game to play.
Yeah. Especially
you want to replace him with a rookie? Good luck. He doesn't even know where to line up.
Okay, but wait. How does Danny Gray look now?
Like not like Jan, like not like Juwan Jennings. Who can run Juwan Jennings routes? Those dig routes over the middle. The thing about Jennings is nice is he's 6'2" with hops, and you don't have to throw it perfectly to him. You throw that to Ricky Pearsall with his 30-inch arms. You better throw that one perfectly to him, or else it could be tipped, intercepted.
Well, but here's the thing. I think a lot of nothing against you, Juwan. But when you've got BA on the field, Debo on the field, CMC and Kittle, you're probably not going to get the best of coverage rotated your way.
Okay? That's,
which is why, being slow as he is, he can make those third down receptions.
See, that's what I feel like I would say to him in negotiations if he said, well, look, I mean, I was going to be the Super Bowl MVP. Like, I had the best game of all these wide receivers, and I had a better game than Ayuk. I had a better game than Debo. It's like, okay, well, hold on. They were playing press man coverage. They were playing matchup coverage. You got the best matchup, and you still had four catches for 42 yards, man. No one's scared of you. No one is scared of you. Now, if it had been Ricky Pearsall and his 4.4 speed getting those matchups instead of you, maybe we could have had some explosive plays, yada, yada, yada. Now, I don't know if Pearsall's that guy, but that's what they're thinking probably, like, we could do better.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Exactly. So that's why I'm Jennings. I get it. Want more money, but take your butt to camp because no one's going to give you, or OTAs for now. No one's going to give you because they would have signed already. Another team would have reached out and said, you know what? Second round pick, you're great. Hell of a worth it. Let's do it. And we'll work on a contract. Here you go. But no team has done that. So why not get to camp? Show that you are established, like the receiver coach said, Hankerson said, and show that you're better than these other receivers right now, other than maybe Debo.
Well, we're assuming that this is sort of like a cold strategic play by Juwan and his agent. What if this is emotional? What if this is like, hey man, we lost the Super Bowl 3 months ago, and I'm still upset, and I don't want to be there for a lot of reasons. I don't want to be at OTAs. I will catch up with you guys in June. What if it's as simple as that?
Okay, that could be cool, but that would be dumb in my opinion. You got to make a good money decision. Money talks, BS walks. You got to put your emotions aside. It's all about that dollar bill, right? Because that's what he's trying to get. So for me, I think the best way, and hopefully his representation is telling him this, hey, buddy, look, you're going to have to play on this tender. No other team wanted you, sorry. But ball out this year, get your guaranteed money, and then you control your destiny after that. And the way to ball out, BA's not in camp. You know, Debo's, you know, prima donna. Maybe he's over that this year, but you would be the gem that Purdy and the other quarterbacks have to focus on. So get there.
And, you know, he's doing himself a disservice because what's going to happen, Kyle's petty, man. And if he already doesn't see Jennings as part of the future plans. And Pearsall is. And Pearsall's getting the reps. And Jennings isn't. So if Pearsall plays well and Jennings comes back, Kyle could be like, sorry, you're fourth in the depth chart now. We Ricky. And you know, we wouldn't have known, but you weren't here and we put him in your spot. And we really like it. So now you're gonna 10 catches a year. Oh, that hurts your market value. Well, maybe we'll resign you next year. We might like to bring you back for like $3 million, but like, it could get bad for Juwan, dude. You don't have a resume like Ayuk does. So you need to be, honestly, you should be back right now because every day you're not here and Pearsall's playing your spot. That's just dangerous. You don't know what could happen. I mean, Kyle makes his mind up before Pearsall. These things happen anyway, man. He gave Sam Darnold the job over Trey Lance. Like, don't mess with him.
Yeah, he is petty.
You know?
And once he gets something in his head, that's it. But, and this is I want to know your opinions. Now, you were there and you had something nice to say. But what about Danny Gray? Not saying that he's going to be an all-star on his team, but he can also get better with more reps with Purdy that, you know, Juwan Jennings could have got. So this is what I'm talking about. It's not just Purcell. It's also Gray. It's also Colin. It's also anyone else who's in camp, because we got, 12 receivers that can get more snaps and reps that they wouldn't have before. So that's why on the player side, I get asking for more money. I get maybe missing some OTAs, but get there for mini camp, get there for camp, Juwan, because you don't have the leverage that BA has. So, I don't get it.
All right, let's do some sleeper picks for today's game, baby. Who we got? Boston and Indiana. Boston's up 2-0. Wow. So who we got? Drew Holiday went to college with me. He's such a good player.
Hold on. What about White? Was those assists for White?
Yeah, five and a half assists for White. It's six last game, nine before that, six before that.
Yeah, I think that's over.
96% of people agree with you on that. Let's see if I won. Oh. Nope.
Yes.
Nope. Still haven't. Okay, so we're gonna go with more on the assists for White. Can you imagine if I'm not going to go there? Drew Holiday, 5.5. Jason Tatum, points, 28.5 points. Last game, he had 23.
That's tough. He can have a bad game. He did have a bad game last one for him. But what about
2-0? It's almost like a bye week game. You know what I mean? They're up 2-0. They're going on the road. They don't need to win this game. They're not going to win this game. They might win this game, but they probably won't. I want to say less on this one.
Okay, go less. Go less.
Do you think his ego will allow him to have two bad games in a row, though? He seems like he's an on again, off again player.
Yeah, but the point is on the road too.
Yeah. Okay. I'm with you.
28? Yeah.
Making the pick. Let's go Miles Turner. He's my favorite player on Indiana. I keep calling him Indianapolis.
Yeah. Same.
16.5 points, 7.5 rebounds. What about rebounds? No, not rebounds. Let's do points. 16.5 points.
Did it have threes for him? Yeah.
Yes. 1.5. He can shoot.
He can shoot. That's over.
He can shoot.
That's for sure over.
Let's get that. And then Halliburton. Let's do one more. Keep it chill. Maybe two more. Huh?
Hold on. Is he playing? He was hurt.
Is he hurt? Oh, game time decision. Let's not do Halliburton. Good call. Let's do Jaylen Brown. 40 points in the last game.
40 burger. You got him at 25?
I feel like that's how the Celtics kind of are. Like, he and Tatum take turns. They don't really play together. They just sort of take turns. Yeah.
Is it 25 and a half?
It's 25 and a half.
Yeah, I think you got to go over for him.
You got to get that? Okay.
You got to get that, yeah.
Because Indiana hasn't shown that they can guard him yet.
Exactly. And he can get to the hole at will and finish.
I want to do one more, but then I also want to win. Which I never do. Siakam. How about one more? Siakam. 23.5 points. He's been doing pretty well against the Celtics so far. And they're at home. And if they're going to win this game, he needs to do something. Especially if Halliburton's hurt.
Yeah. What are
23.5 for points. For boards you want?
Yeah. Let's look at boards.
Boards?
Yeah.
7.5. He had 5 left before that.
It's tough. Yeah. Okay. You want to do points or boards?
Points.
Okay, let's do points. Ugh.
Ugh. Can we just do less just because? Let's do less. I don't believe in you, Pascal. Less. I don't believe in you, Pascal. All right, these are our picks on the screen right there. And if you want to play, there's a QR code on the screen, promo code CONE, C-O-H-N. Deposit match up to $100 on your first deposit. Submitting the entry. That is definitely, look at this one. This is a winner. Check it out. Drink it in with your eyes. All I do, winners. All right, hold on. Let's get back to financial grievances with the 49ers. Christian McCaffrey didn't show up to OTAs. You know, a lot of fans really wanted to shut that down like it was no big deal. Well, he's getting married. Okay. But then his running back coach said it's the business part of the game, which doesn't sound great. And even the fact that he would schedule his wedding right in the middle of the Niners offseason program doesn't sound great. Although maybe it was his wife's decision. Maybe he couldn't talk to her about it. Maybe, you know, who knows the dynamics of their relationship. Anyway, we know that McCaffrey has no guaranteed money left on his deal. It's the same extension he signed 4 years ago with Carolina. The Niners traded for him and they haven't redone the deal. They're just playing it out. And you know how athletes are. They like to get taken care of. And that's the theme of this offseason for the 49ers. I need to get taken care of. I sacrificed. Now you pay up. And if Ayuk's going to make that stand and Jennings is going to make that stand, then who's to stop the running back from saying, no, 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 no. I'm the most important player here. And let's see how you guys do without me. What do you think of Christian McCaffrey potentially?
Well,
I'm going to battle with the Niners over money.
Okay, so I looked at his numbers, and he gets paid $12 million this year. First of all, he's the highest paid running back per average per year. And $12 million, if he's on the opening day roster, if I'm not mistaken, that's guaranteed, right? Because he's he's the best of bet. I guess I just don't understand. Now, I get it. They love their guaranteed money. He wants some financial stability for the future, but he's a running back who is 28. And so my concern is, do you really want to put more financial strain on this roster that you know you need to turn over for a running back? And I just have a problem with it because, Christian, you're getting $12 million this year. If you want some guaranteed money for the following year, sure, they can make the guaranteed and turn some of it signing bonus or whatever, but I don't want to affect the cap too detrimentally for a running back. Now, I mean, and I love Christian. He's really taking his offense to the next level. We should have drafted him instead of, who do we get that year? Solomon Thomas. So, I mean, I love the guy. Love him. But I just don't understand why he feels the need to get to try to negotiate right now when all that money he still has on his cap, other than the guarantee.
I would do it if I were him. I would do it. Coming off an offensive, seriously, like this team didn't draft me. I'm a running back. I'm 28. I know they're going to pay Purdy next year. They could cut me at any time. I have no guaranteed money left. This is probably the best season I'm going to have at this point forward. I don't owe them anything. This is business. And yes. look at how they do business. If you want to get a little bit more bread out of the Niners, what do you got to do? Hold out, play hardball. That's what they want you to do. I mean, pretty much Nick Bosa was positively reinforced for doing that. Brandon Ayuk will be positively reinforced for doing this. So why shouldn't Christian McCaffrey do it? It's like, if you want anything done, you have to show that you mean business. So the Niners created this problem themselves. They created this problem.
How can we, the reports I read said it's not necessary that he wants more money. He just wants guaranteed money. Mm-hmm. So, but how can we manipulate the cap, Parag, so that we can honor him? And he wants an extension. See, that's the problem. He wants an extension. So you're extending him.
Mm-hmm. It's a bad idea. It's a bad idea. But he wants it.
I get it. You know, people in hell want ice water. But my point is, you got to do what's better for the team right now. And I think that the extension part is where I have an issue. Okay.
But that's what's interesting about the culture of the team right now. The team is saying, we got to do what's best for us. We cut Eric Armstead. We got to do what's best for us financially. Well, players are saying, all right, well, bet. I mean, we got to do what's best for us too. And it's not just one player doing it. It's like three or four.
Yeah, but okay. We knew Ayuk was going to do it. I don't give a damn about Jennings doing it. Okay. So, I mean, hey, I mean, I love Juwan, but hey, he's not.
I don't think the Niners care either, man. That's a good point.
The only two I care about is Ayuk and CMC. And if there's a way for me to manipulate the cap so that I'm not extending an issue into the future, fine. But he wants an extension, and that's my concern. Like, all right, so you want to still be the highest paid running back, which – okay, you had a great season other than a fumble in the Super Bowl, but, you know, in the red zone. But my point is, I don't want to make this team worse in the future by banking on the health of an older running back, you know, because his extension would be past 30.
Yeah, But what's crazy though is like the Niners want, like what they're trying to do is keep their team together so they can make a run, one more run at the Super Bowl with this current salary structure while Brock's not making money. And it seems like a few players are saying like, okay, you want to put your best foot forward this year, huh? Okay, well, pay me right now. You want me in OTAs, right? You want me to be there, right? Because right now, you got, take Jennings out of it, although he's important. You have two of your most important players not at OTAs. And you basically begged Nick Bosa to come. Yeah. And I'm sure you'd love Christian and Brandon to be there too. And they're hostage. Say so you want to have a great team this year, right? You want to have a fast start, right? You want us out there, right? Well, pay us now.
Well, see, agreed. But the thing is, to me, the easiest one to take care of is BA. You know what his market value is. Mm-hmm. Tinker with it a little bit, but just give it to him. Before, he's not as good as Justin Jefferson. But before Justin Jefferson signed, before CeeDee, like, I mean, why are you waiting? It's only going to get worse.
It's a tough one. I mean, I've been arguing for months that the Niners should not extend Brandon Ayuk. I don't like the idea, the deal for them, but they're sort of like, they didn't do anything. I would have traded them. They didn't. They're trying to like play it down the middle. And now you got multiple players saying, all right, well, what are you going to do? I'm using my leverage here. I'm not showing up. You know, this affects every single player who held out for more money, had a down season afterward. You want to win the Super Bowl. You know, that's a pattern. Are you going to let it happen? Are you going to win the financial battle so you can lose the competitive war on the field? Is that what you want to do? Kyle, Parag.
But they always lose this. That's the funny. They capitulate at the end of the day anyway.
Right.
So just do it now. Now, with CMC, he's the one that I wouldn't play hardball with him, but I would like, look, all right, Christian, what exactly you want an extension? But work with us here. You want an extension, you want guaranteed money.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to reduce some of your, you know, your workload because we want to make sure you make it if we extend you, right? So that's my concern with the CMC. And I love CMC, but he plays running back. He makes the most money. His $12 million will be guaranteed first day of the league. So if he wants guaranteed next year, fine. And maybe extend. That's my problem. You extend him then with guaranteed money, then you're shooting yourself in the foot. Because you know we're lucky that we didn't deal with a lot of injuries. But we're just one bad ankle, high ankle sprain away from missing a lot of time with CMC. So at his age, I wouldn't extend too
much. This is a big one, though, with the Niners. Like, if Ayuk holds out 11 games, the Niners could say, well, we still got we drafted two wide receivers this year. We got Debo. We got Kittle. Like, we can work around a few months without Ayuk, and he'll come back for the playoffs anyway, although that wouldn't be ideal. If they lose McCaffrey, if McCaffrey holds out and says, I'm not playing under this contract anymore. You got to give me the respect I've earned. They're in trouble, man. I don't know what they are. I mean, we haven't seen Brock Purdy without McCaffrey. And maybe the Niners really should see what that looks like before they give Brock Purdy $1 billion. But man, if McCaffrey misses any time, what happens to this team? Be interesting.
Well, I mean, there goes the offense, to be candid with you.
Yeah.
I mean, because CMC is, I think, the engine of this offense. Sorry, Purdy. Sorry, BA.
You're not getting 8-man boxes anymore.
Right, exactly. No. We're not getting that. And no. You can double the receivers a lot easier. So, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. That's why we sit him in a room, and Kyle Levy has to probably be the one to do this and say, look, we want to work with you. We want to give you what you want, but you got to work with us a little bit because of where you are at the stage of your career. I'm fine with giving you guaranteed money, but how long of extension do you want? That's my concern. That's my concern. You know, and you're making the most money out of all the running backs. You're worth it. Don't get me wrong. But I need some type of sliding scale where I'm not killing myself by extending you 4 or 5 years.
I got a theory, man. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think the Niners players are pissed at Kyle because of how they lost the Super Bowl. And I think Kyle, it's unspoken, but I think Kyle's trying really hard to win the players over. What do you want? You don't want Steve Wilkes? Fine. He's fired. Who do you like? Like Nick Sorensen? Fine. He's a defensive coordinator. Don't even worry about Brandon Staley. We're just going to talk. He's going to be my friend. But like, that's not enough, man. Like, it's not enough. What about the players on offense? Oh, I want money. Oh, you want me to be happy, Kyle? I want money. And it's like a bunch of guys. And I think that, I mean, you know, it's naturally happens in football as part of the business, but it's a stark contrast from last year. And I do think this is a direct byproduct of how they lost the Super Bowl. And it's so not what you want in your campaign to get back there. And this is why the Super Bowl hangover is real, man. This is what it looks like.
I agree. This is what it looks like. But see, if you're a smart leadership, by the way, I think I said earlier that the Cowboys have won more than us Super Bowls. They have not won the same amount, but they have one more recent than we have. Mm-hmm. Still, screw those Cowgirls. Anyway, though, my point is, this is what you don't want. So as a leader, you have to make sure you don't get this. So as a leader, you got to say, hey, Parag, come not eliminate, stand back on. Let's get BA in here ASAP. Hey, CMC, after your wedding, let's talk. Let's figure out what we can do. Because you are Brother the linchpin of this business. Yeah.
When they got Bosa to come to OTAs, why were they able to, why was that successful? Because they paid him.
Right.
They could say, look, dude, I know it's voluntary, but we're paying you $34 million a year. Can you please show up? They can't do it. If they say to McCaffrey, hey, Christian, man, you're a leader. Could you please show up to OTAs? He's like, yeah, sure. If you redo my deal. Absolutely. Right.
And so yeah, bring them in to talk about it. Just say, okay.
Oh, you want participation? You want some vets to be there? All right, well, break me off. You already did with Bosa, so he kind of has to begrudgingly be like, okay, I'll show up. But you can't request that from these players on offense because they got their own request. Now it's a negotiation. All right. Jennings, too.
But wait a minute. Hold on. I don't care about Jennings. Isn't CMC part of the Cabo clique? I don't. I mean, like, look, he has no leverage. So
yeah,
whatever, Jennings. 19 catches. I love you, but.
19 catches.
Right. Exactly. I mean, okay. So whatever, Jennings. You know, and the league has spoken about you, Jennings. No one even wanted to give up a second round for you. So whatever. But I agree with you on BA. I agree with you, CMC. It's easier to do, I think, BA quickly because the market is set. But CMC say, okay, you want a new deal? Listen, let's after your wedding or before, come on, we'll put you on our jet. You probably have enough money for your own jet. Come on in. Let's chit chat. Bring your agent. Now let's powwow. Let's figure out what exactly you want and we'll talk. But just come face to face. I'm Kyle Levy. I'm going to give you what you want anyway, okay? You don't want to see Parag's face? Fine. Screw Parag.
Yeah.
Bring him in just to say, hey, let's have a sit down. We want to make sure you're happy here. We know the value that you give, but work with us a little bit. That's all.
Ideally, you wouldn't extend either player's contract, McCaffrey, Ayuk. Ideally, you'd say, you have another year on your contract, play it out. Sorry.
Yeah, but you can't.
And the reason you don't or you don't want to is because they're really freaking important. And
yes,
pissing them off doesn't help your team. It doesn't help your locker room. These are supposed to be the captains and the leaders of your squad. Right. And so yeah, that's the balance you want to play. Like, do you want to give McCaffrey an extension? Hell no. But do you want him to go to war with you and not be there? No. So what do you do? Same question with Ayuk. And right now, the Niners are like, oh, I don't know what to do. Let's just wait. Like, the waiting doesn't help.
No.
Waiting doesn't help. You saw that with Bosa last year. You got to do something.
And are you going to do this with Purdy? So,
right.
It sets a bad precedent. They've been doing this for a long time, but I think this is a year.
Imagine next year when Purdy's up for an extension and they want to drag it out to September and he's not out there for OTAs, minicamp, training camp, any of it. Your quarterback's not out there. Well, good luck winning the Super Bowl. But you could say you like won the negotiation at the end of it.
See, I don't think they'll do this with Purdy. I don't know. I just have a feeling that when it comes to
why? Because it's bad.
Well, right. It's bad for all of them.
Don't do it with Ayuk. It wasn't good with Bosa. Right? No, like, let's extend the logic. Oh, you wouldn't want to do that with Purdy. Right. Because there's a downside.
Yeah.
Sure. But you've seen it.
See, that's the short-sightedness, Brent. That's what I'm saying. We all can see this. You know, maybe not Sheets, but we all can see this. The fact that it didn't work with Bosa, the fact that it really doesn't set the camaraderie for the team and for future negotiations, the fact that it doesn't help on-field practice right now. You can, you know, really get forward, especially the rookies being indoctrinated to the system and the team and knowing where to go based upon this, you know, the vets telling you. but they just don't learn. See, that's the thing. I mean, it's like they don't learn. Hey, they're like 3 years behind the curve and hey, this doesn't help you.
How can you say you're really all in to win the Super Bowl? All in when you're haggling over $1 million or $2 million a year with Brandon Ayuk? How can you? You can't.
But notice the other teams. The team that we barely beat in an NFC championship. They, all right, Amon, you ready? Let's get that money. Get you in. Let's get this team ready.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do. The Eagles. Okay. Eagles. They got both their receivers re-signed. Uh-huh. You know, AJ Brown was upset. Unfollowed them. No problem. Here's more money. Get your butt in here. We're the only team.
The Bengals haven't worked it out yet with Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, but like, and yeah, you know, and the Vikings haven't worked it out with Justin Jefferson.
But the Vikings not ideal.
It's not ideal. Those teams probably aren't going anywhere.
They're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
We just lost the Super Bowl in overtime. So we need to do what we have to do. So if I have to bite the bullet for CMC, that's the only one. I don't think you're biting a bullet with BA. You let the market get set. Sign them now. Get it over with. But if I have to bite it with CMC, I'm going to figure out a way to not make it hurt so much, you know, because this, hey, Christian, you're 28 years old. You're focal point of our offense, but I'm concerned about the extension with guaranteed money. But we can come to a compromise. So you look like you're the winner.
I mean, the last time Christian McCaffrey got the ball as much as he got this last season, he played like 10 games the next 2 years. So I wouldn't want to redo his contract at all, man. If I were them, I'd be like, man, 12 million is 12 million. Enjoy. Have a great time.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I'd like to say. But I know it's tricky right now because the culture isn't so strong.
Right. And that's your guy.
That's
and
the
that's
problem.
Your guy on offense. And yeah. Everyone knows it. Huh? You know, that's a guy who determines when he takes a
No, it's Purdy. No, it's Purdy. That's why they're going to pay him $55 million a year.
Well, that's a discussion for another day, you know, but hey, if that's the market rate, that's the market rate. What do you do?
But yo, if Purdy really is that guy, though, as people say that he is, then you shouldn't need the highest paid running back in the league. You shouldn't need a number one wide receiver because that's what you see with Kansas City, Buffalo. Those teams are like, look, I mean, yeah, we'd love to have Stephon Diggs or Tyreek Hill, but we just can't afford it. You know, yeah. So we're going to go with an affordable wide receiver room, an affordable running back room, and maybe we'll splurge at tight end. And like, so is Purdy that guy? We'll find we need to know.
Well, I know where you're going with this, and obvious, right? I'm concerned. I am concerned if Purdy is that guy. I love what I see on the field. I love what I see as far as decision making, but I don't see a Mahomes. I don't see a Josh Allen. I don't see a guy that can take over the offense and wheel it down to a touchdown score when it needs. I don't see that yet. I hope to hell that I'm wrong. But when I see Josh Allen needs to score, he makes it happen. Now, I mean, he's not perfect, but he makes it happen. Ditto with Mahomes. I mean, we watch Mahomes do it against us, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if Purdy can do that. And that concerns me about giving him that big contract. But at the end of the day, what do you do? If he has another season like he did this year, we go far. I mean, that's the market rate, right? I mean,
it is the market rate, but like that's the problem. You know, you paid Jimmy Garoppolo the market rate. The Falcons are paying Kirk Cousins the market rate. The Dolphins will pay two of the market rate. But I mean, the Lions just paid Goff the market rate, but we all laughed. We all laughed. Ha 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 ha. Oh, you think you're going somewhere paying Jared Goff that kind of money? Like, that's hilarious. And everyone in Detroit's all defensive, like, no. Did you look at his numbers? Did you look at his numbers? This is what you got to pay a quarterback. Like, you're screwed. And I think that's kind of what a lot of people are going to look at the Niners as once they paid Brock that much.
But wait a minute. And I'm not a Goff fan at all.
Goff. I'm not saying Goff is better than Brock, but I think they're kind of in a similar tier. I feel like Brock is in that Kirk Cousins to a Goff tier. I wouldn't put him in the Stroud Jordan Love tier. I wouldn't.
But did Goff lose the NFC Championship game last year? Anything he do to lose that game? No.
No.
So he could have been in the Super Bowl again. again. So, you know, he had some receivers that dropped the balls on fourth down. He had a coach that didn't want to kick a field goal. So my point is, I just think this is the NFL that we're in now. And would I want to pay Tua, for example, that? F no. Would I want to pay somebody? Cousins always gets these big contracts. But the point of it is that that's the market. You got to compete with the market. And I don't care about these billionaire owners. That's their money. They're just giving it to the players. What I do care about is how is it going to impact our cap, being able to get other players. And that is a legitimate concern. And that's my only concern. Will this team, can he carry it on his shoulders and make sure it gets down the field and win a game? And basically, can the kicker that we spent a third round pick on, you know, when a game gets down to him? I remember a game last year, Cleveland, was it, right? He shanked one. So, you know, I can't put it all on Purdy, but I do have a concern. Can he build this team? And especially with Kyle as his coach, because I think Kyle has to let the reins loose a little bit.
Yeah, and it was interesting with Purdy. One more topic, and then we'll be done. Not Jacob Cowing. Hold on. I want to talk about Greasy on Purdy. So Greasy spoke this week, and it was asked multiple times, like, what's the next step for Purdy? What have you talked about with Purdy? And both times, he went right to leadership. And he didn't say he's not a leader. Like, he needs to continue to grow as a leader. But really what he was saying is, like, it's not easy being a face of a franchise. But, and like setting accountability and expectations for players who are older than you. But that's what's going to come with the contract. And that's why it's going to be a lot of pressure on him, because you can't be on stage passing beers to George Kittle, man. Like, you're the face of the franchise, not Kittle. You're not there as Kittle's little brother. Like, it's you. And you're the one that says Nick Bosa come to OTAs, not Kyle. It's you. And that's a bit, the next step for him. He did a good job of asserting himself as an equal and a peer of these players when he was like 22. But now you got to take it the next step and be their leader. And he's not even 25 yet, but that's comes with the contract. And it'll be, I'm not saying he can't do it. Yeah, he very well might be able to do it, but it won't be easy. And I don't think Kittle's going to make it easy. I'm just going to be interested to see how he does it.
Well, you know what? This is the one part I am not concerned when it comes to Purdy. He has showed his, first of all, he told Kittle, national TV, was it a Sunday night game? Pretty much a shut up. You know, you talk too much. And, you know, all the reports I've read and some things I've seen, he has that dog in him to tell people, you know, put them in their place. I mean, he's done it at camp. You've seen it, right? He's yelling at receivers, established vets to get over here, get over there. You've seen it.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about that. I think, though, they're just trying to, I think what Greasy's trying to do is say, okay, Purdy, this is your team now.
Yeah.
You're no longer Mr. Irrelevant. That ended an hour after.
You're not just here to distribute the ball and make people look good. Like, it's your show.
It's your show. Yeah. But see, the problem is it has to come from Kyle. That's my thing. Right. You got to let Purdy audible. You got to put his brain to use. Then Purdy goes up to that line and says, okay, these two plays that were called by Kyle and Kyle's chirping in my ear because the mic is still on, I don't like this. He has to have the autonomy.
Or he sees something in the defense and says, actually, I like something better.
Exactly.
I have enough experience. I love this play. It's one of my favorites. I got the look. Sorry, Kyle, but you trust me, right? Like, I want this. I feel confident in this play. It's not even about that I don't like your play. I love this play. Trust me.
Right. And that's how he is the true leader. See, the problem with Greasy is, does Kyle let Purdy be the leader of this team? And it shows on the field. To me, I've been saying this the whole offseason. Will he have the ability to audible? Because I think that's crucial.
I feel like as a coach, you should want your player to feel conviction in something. If he's like, look, man, against this look on this situation, third and six, when they play, like, I love this particular play and it works and I can execute it. Like, wouldn't you want the quarterback to say that? Okay, great. Like, you feel strongly about a play in my playbook? Let's call that. As opposed to, you're Patrick Mahomes. What the hell do you know? Shut the hell up and just run what I call. I'm Kyle Shanahan. I think Andy Reid works that way, where it's like you're trying to empower your quarterback, whereas Kyle has a little bit of a tough time giving up control.
Especially if you're going to give him 50 plus million. You see, that's the thing. He should be the face of the face of the organization and the leader on that offense. And I'm telling you, I'm gonna keep saying it until I turn white in the face, right? Kyle is so obstinate and such a control freak. That's the thing that limits this team. And I think that's what's precluded us from winning Super Bowls with him. And I hope like hell it changes, because I'm concerned. That's my biggest thing. Purdy could be the next best thing as far as our offense. But we don't know, because is he governed by Kyle Levy? So tell me, you know, you've been to camp. And I know Purdy hasn't really been out there for the first couple of days with rookies, but he's been there for OTAs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And can you tell, is he like being like the presence as far as telling people what to do, where to go?
It was one day, and I didn't feel like he was any different than the Purdy I've seen in the past. And again, he's a very good player. He's a very good quarterback in all the ways. Demeanor, but it's been one day and I didn't see anything materially different, but I'm looking. And they have another practice this week on Wednesday, and everyone's looking to see a different Purdy. Does he have more arm strength? Does he have more leadership? Does he have more gravitas? We're looking. I'll let you know.
That's the key. And I really don't even care about his arm strength. The man has proven he can get to the Super Bowl with this team.
Yeah.
He's proven it. And I think he's proven, you know, I don't care what people say, he's not the reason why we lost that Super Bowl. Now, he's also not the reason why we,
could have won it. He wasn't able to be the reason they won it.
Right, yeah. Exactly. He wasn't the reason. So, but I'm not going to hold that against him. I don't have a problem with his arm strength. You know, I just have a problem with taking the shackles off of him. Let Purdy, as long as he doesn't start becoming a turnover machine, but let him run this offense. Like you said, the plays that he likes, and if he sees it's going to be effective against his defense or effective against this particular player, defender, then go for it. You know, Bill Walsh used to do that. He would exploit weaknesses on the other side constantly until they cover that weakness up. And he's like, great, now this other weakness is open. Kyle doesn't do that. And he got his game. He has his game plan. He's going to stick to his game plan. We saw it in so many games. Unless he gets, you know, really behind. So that's my concern. That's really my concern.
Yeah, I mean, also, people look at Brock like he won't ever be like this, because they look at him like he's 11 years old. But once they pay him a lot of money, if Kyle continues to not empower him and sort of dictate to him what he has to do, they're going to butt heads. They are going to butt heads the way that Jimmy and Kyle did. And, you know, people always look at Kirk Cousins. He and Kyle had a good relationship. Yeah, when Kirk was like 24 and wasn't making money, I mean, would Kirk at 36, who has like $400 million in the bank, want to play for Kyle? I don't know about that. It's a different. So Kyle has to like actually have more of a 50-50 relationship with this quarterback than what he's had with on the 49ers. I mean, because once he's making $55 million a year, that's four times what Kyle's making. Like, you can't talk to me like that anymore, sir. I took that for a while. Now you have to be nice.
Listen,
say it nice.
No, that's F you money. You know, when you're making that much average per year, for sure.
And you still treat me like a rookie on the field. I you don't trust me to make an audible. Like, all right, man, now I'm rolling my eyes at you.
But when I'm on the field, guess what? You can't stop me. That's the thing. So as long as the team is winning. So I'm hopeful, you know, I'm hopeful that Kyle will ease up a little bit on Purdy. Give him some autonomy.
Ezio Sanchez says Mahomes equals Jordan, Niners equal Utah Jazz. That's rough. The Utah Jazz. Who's John Stockton? Purdy? Paul Newland has been a member for 31 months. Paul Newland says, thank you, Grant, for your unbiased reporting. There's been zero bias today. That's what it looks like. What it sounds like. Anyway, thanks for watching, everyone. It's 11:09 on the West Coast. It's time to go hit the golf links. I've been golfing for a month. I'm an expert.
I did see the golf club. The clubs. I did see the clubs.
Oh, hold on. Let me show
everyone the clubs. Yeah.
Clubs. right there. I just bought these secondhand from Alameda Golf Works this week. Shout out to Alameda Golf Works. Just irons. We got the four through the pitching wedge. I went to Lake Chabot Golf Course yesterday. I played the nine hole twice. And I Why shot twice? A 44 because I didn't do well the first time. And it's not that much walking. It's like the par three. So I did twice, 18. And I got a 44 on the second one, which isn't that good. And I didn't get any pars. But on the last one, I finally, Chabot has these tiny little greens. I finally, from 125 yards out in my pitching wedge, I nailed the green. There's a big divot 5 feet from the cup. It rolled to 10 feet away. And I'm walking down being like, I'm getting a birdie today. First putt, 3 feet short. And I'm walking up being like, that's cool. I'm going to get the par. I'm going to get my par today. And I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell everyone. And I missed the par putt by a little bit. It's hanging on the lip and I go in and blow it in. But I don't think that counts. So that's a four. That sucks. But that's golf.
But it's not double bogey. It's not double bogey.
That was my best. That was my best one of the day. Trust me. I don't like it. No.
You got to try this.
Not doing it. I'll try. I should probably try. Romelia Sports Report says deja vu. Niners about to pay big money to a quarterback who can't win the Super Bowl. In fact, they were lucky to win the two playoff games at home versus young Packers and Lions. It's true though. Those games came down to the wire. They're 3-point victories. But I know it hurts to hear it from a Niner, from a Rams fan.
Yeah, but it's a win's a win. A W's a W, period. And you know, where were the Rams last year? See, I hate being that guy saying that, and we lose the Super Bowl.
He always brings it out of people, but look, the thing about the Rams is they may not have had the same sustained success, whatever the hell that means. Sean McVay has a statue. Matthew Stafford has a ring. So they got that going for him. Brother Bob,
that's true.
Great stuff as always, man. Let's do it again sometime soon.
You're
pretty good. Thanks for watching, everyone. Have a good Saturday.
With the Planet Fitness Black Card, you don't just get a great workout, you get a great perk out, because your membership is packed with perks. For zero enrollment and $24.99 a month, you'll get perks like access to any of our 2,400 clean and spacious locations. Bring your friend anytime and both work out with tons of equipment that'll give you that big fitness energy. Relax in the Black Card Spa and more. Work out and perk out with the PF Black Card. Join today for zero enrollment and $24.99 a month. See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.